Praise God. Yeah. So we have started a very, very interesting journey. We started last week. We started talking about the origin of God. Talking about a lot of things anyways, and God has been helping us to, you know, unveil some certain things that are in the scriptures, in the Bible, just to teach a little bit and help people to understand the concept of the Bible. The Bible is not meant to be a difficult document to be read. It's not meant to be a boring document to be read. The Bible can be interesting if you understand the Bible. All right? So let's say this word. I can understand the Bible if I read it properly. So it's very easy to read the Bible, actually. So we started last week explaining how that the Bible is not a book, like just one book. The Bible is a compilation of different books, okay? So it's not like a group of people sat down and say, oh, I know what, we're going to do it. You're going to write a book called Genesis, you Exodus, you Leviticus, Numbers, and then I'll write the New Testament. All right, I'll write a character named Jesus. We're going to just form everything, and then we'll start selling the books around. All right, that's not what happened. What really happened is that some people in different times, let's say for this time, this year, this is 2019, and then 10 years later, someone else comes and writes another book, and 20 years later, 50 years later, 100 years, 400, 5,000, you know, people kept writing books. Now, all these people's books were compiled to bring the document called the Bible. That's what we have as the Bible today. So the Bible is a compilation of books. Alright, the Bible is not one book, but it's a compilation of different books. And all these books have a message. There is a litmus test for what is called the document of the Bible. And it's any document that has to do with salvation. Alright, so how did they compile the Bible? Anything that surrounds the topic of salvation is the Bible, or is the Word of God. All right, so the Bible is not just a book that came from heaven and dropped on the ground. No, the Bible is a compilation of people's writings about Jesus, and then it comes alive to us. Hallelujah. All right, now we also established something that you know, we have a lot of people saying that the Bible is, you know, forged. You know, people just came up and forged it and just like, you know, that's not true, blah, blah, blah. Some people say Jesus never existed. Someone say, Jesus never existed. Show me an evidence that Jesus existed outside the Bible. Because all you Christians, you believe in a Jesus that was, you know, just a tale and blah, blah, blah. Show us an you know. But the thing is, these people have not really researched. If you have really researched, you discover that in the Roman Empire, they had people writing about political things. And those people wrote about Jesus as well. They wrote about, you know, the death of Jesus. And I mentioned some of their names. Some of their names, you can just write it down. Maybe you can look into their writings some other time. One of them is Tacitus. Tacitus is spelled T-A-C-T-I-U-S. Tacitus, you know, he wrote about Jesus. Another one called Pliny the Younger, Josephus. I'm not here to give you some, you know, history or whatever. I'm just telling you guys that there's a lot of extra biblical evidence about the existence of Jesus, about the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. Right? There's a lot of my brother sent me a video just within the week, and someone came and was like, you know, like, how can you guys believe the Bible? The Bible is just a framework and blah blah blah, all those stuff. And I just laughed. I said to my friend, I said, even if we didn't have a Bible, like a physical Bible, even if there was no Bible, like if we had never seen this Bible ever, do you know that we would still believe in Jesus? It's a shame to anyone that thinks that this is a tale. It's a shame. Even if we don't have the Bible today, we still believe in Jesus. You know, in China, China doesn't accept Bibles in their country. But they have churches, large churches, that are somewhere hidden, some places that are hidden. Christians that believe in, they are excellent in the things of the Spirit. In fact, I heard of one of them. I didn't read it, but I heard of it. Someone told me, someone that I can rely on. He told me, he said, there was a time that there was this, they noticed that there was a spy amongst them. And then all of them decided, okay, you know what? There's a spy among us that wants to stop our church, that wants to, you know, bring people to destroy our church and stuff like that. So what's going to happen is this. we are not going to come to church again, but at a specific time we'll gather together by the Spirit. No one, we are not going to tell each other, okay, we're going to come and so, because we don't know who is inspired among us. So by the Spirit, we'll come back at so and so day, whichever day. All of them went, and they said, anyone that doesn't come will detect that that's a spy. And they went. And when they came back by the Spirit, they all came back one day. And when they came back that day, one person was missing. And yeah, we cannot spot the spy. But you can see that people can rely on the gift of the Spirit without even the document called the Bible that they call it. They call it a framework. So it's please don't ever listen to people that try to refute or criticize the Bible. It was changed. Nobody criticizes the Quran. Nobody criticizes any other book. The Hindu book, what's it called? I forgot the name. You know, all the books, nobody criticizes. But the Bible about Jesus, everyone criticizes, everyone kills Christians. Everyone does everything to us. We just seem to be a problem to everybody. Yet, we are peacemakers. Yet, we hurt no one. Yet, we just preach the gospel of eternal life. So you can see, it's so funny, you know. It's so funny, but we thank God that we have the Bible and we believe the word of God. Everything that is said, we believe it. We believe it. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let's look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, 15. All right. Are you there? All right, I'll read 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. It says, and that from a child, what translation are you using?
KJV.
How about you, Ryan?
What? KJV.
Awesome. All right. 2 Timothy 3, 15. It says, and that from a child, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, we have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All right, what do we say this is about? It says, from a child, the word child there is infancy. So Paul tells Timothy, from a child, from infancy, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. So when you're looking at the document called the scriptures, it gives you a wisdom concerning salvation. Amen. Amen. I feel like we're not here. So the Bible says, from a child, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. So, holy scriptures. Let me ask us, what is holy scriptures? When he says holy scriptures, is he talking of the book of Timothy? Let's think about it. What do you think?
I think it's the Bible in the entirety.
The entirety of the Bible? What about you? The entire Bible. How about you, Ryan? The entire Bible. Okay, now let's examine something. He says, from a child, you have known the holy scriptures. Now, at this point, when he was writing to Timothy, was there a book of Timothy? There was no book of Timothy. Look at John 5:39. Quickly, we'll go back to 2 Timothy. All right. John 5:39. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. So at this point, when Jesus says, search the scriptures, was there a book of John?
No.
Definitely not. So previous books. So what are the previous books? So obviously when he was saying search the scriptures, or when Paul was saying you have known the holy scriptures, he was referring to the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament is what? Genesis to Malachi. Alright? Now, when you say holy scriptures, you're talking of Old Testament. And when you say Old Testament, you're talking of Genesis to Malachi. Please pay attention. Now, but Genesis to Malachi technically is not the Old Testament. Let us look at some things. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Did I say Hebrews 9? Hebrews 9:16, sorry. Are you there? Hebrews 9:16. It says, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. So it says where the testament starts, there must be death. Look at Matthew 26, 24. Sorry, 26, 28. It says, for this is my blood, this is Jesus, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So obviously, where a testament starts is where blood has been shed. So now let me ask you, where was blood shed from Genesis? Okay. All right, so where, from Genesis to Malachi, where was blood shed? In the Old Testament. What was the first time blood was shed? From the Old Testament. That's in Exodus. Exactly. So there was a night that Jesus, that God told Moses, put the blood on your doorpost, or etc. So that was when the Old Testament started. Now, Hebrews 8 also tells us something.
Genesis is actually the New Testament, is that what you're saying?
We're going to get there.
So the Old Testament is actually Exodus from Matthew, Malachi.
Yes. Yes. So let's look at it doctrinally. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. I read, because you have to be fast. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days cometh, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 9. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. So when the Old Testament started was when God took them by the hand out of Egypt. That was the same night that they shed blood on their doorpost. So that's the Old Testament. So now where's the New Testament? All right. Now look at something. Look at Galatians 3 verse 17. We'll start from verse 16. Galatians 3 from verse 16. Look at it. Now to Abraham and his seed. Are you there? Galatians 3, 16. All right. I read, now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. Remember the promise God gave Abraham. In your seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. Remember that? All right. So now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. He said not unto the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. So when God gave Abraham the promise, that was the beginning of the covenant, the first covenant, and that covenant was about Christ. So when you hear Christ, what comes to your mind? Old Testament or New Testament? When you hear Christ, New Testament. So obviously the covenant of the new covenant started before the old covenant. So New Testament, interruption, Old Testament, then we now have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not New Testament. How do we know that? Look at it now. Remember, bloodshed. So, when Jesus came to the earth, he had not yet shed his blood. Obviously, he had not yet changed anything. So, he just came as a normal man, still under the law. Galatians 4 tells us that Jesus Christ was born of a woman under the law. So, when Jesus was on the earth, everything he was saying was as if he was under the law. Alright, that's why you see when someone came to Jesus and asked him, Jesus, what would I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus said, do all you should meant to do, obey your father, obey your mother, do this, do that. And he said, I've done all these things. And then Jesus said to him, you lack one thing, still go and sell all you have. And then he got sad. That's because Jesus was related to them according to the law. Somebody came and asked Jesus, a lawgiver came and asked Jesus, what will I do? Jesus said, go and love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and all that. And today, many Christians are still saying that. You know, they don't realize things have changed now. It's about us recognizing the love of God for us, not us trying to love God. It's God's love being, you know, conscious in our hearts. All right, so, but Jesus had to say some things because it was under the law. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is still Old Testament. But however, we don't call it Old Testament. We call it eyewitness accounts of the humanity of Jesus. That is, you can write that down if you have a note. eyewitness accounts of the humanity of Jesus. That's why when you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see when you see like someone telling a story. So it's not like God is bringing out the revelation. But this one, you're seeing Matthew comes and tells a story, how he heard it, how he saw it. Mark comes, tells a story. John comes, everyone, Luke comes, tells a story. So everything there is about what we can see physically. That's what you see. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see where Jesus, you know, slept. He was tired, you know, and all that. You see where everything physical was happening. You won't see anything spiritual. You won't hear anything like, you weren't like, for we are now the righteousness of God. That's a spiritual reality. But you only see stuff like, and Jesus went there and healed everybody. And Jesus said, and Jesus said, and Jesus did that. And they did this to Jesus. They hung him on the cross. Eyewitness, not revelation. So now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, eyewitness account. Now, what is, where the New Testament starting from? From Acts to Revelation. Why? Because after Jesus died, blood was shed. And then, Jesus' resurrection brought about the New Testament. So now let's start again. Genesis is called the New Testament. Exodus to Malachi, Old Testament. Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is called eyewitness accounts. And then, Acts to Revelation, New Testament. But, Acts, the book of Acts now, is not a book of complete revelation. Acts is still the book of Acts. I don't know if you've read, has anybody really read the book of Acts? The book of, not this way. Okay, now if you read the book of Acts is somebody explaining, people attempting to explain what happened after Jesus died and resurrected. You see where they explain how that after Jesus died and resurrected, his disciples assembled somewhere and they started speaking in tongues for the first time. All right, that's eyewitness. You see how they said, and they went to pray somewhere, and so happened. And Peter went there, and all this about eyewitness. So the book of Acts is not necessarily a revelation. So we must be careful how you read it. Amen. I hope that is still there. All right. So now, this is important to understanding. Eh? Very soon. Okay, please. I didn't know. You know. We're gonna have to. You know. Who's gonna use their live, Insta for me?
Will you log in?
Yeah, I'll log in. Yeah, that's what I want to do. So, you know, you can press end here.